Hey, it's Nishant, and welcome to Higher IQ. It's Friday, May 22nd. The Louvre just announced it's spending $1 billion to give the Mona Lisa her own 33,000 square foot exhibition space. Separate entrance, separate building, and separate gift shop. The reason is because roughly 20,000 people a day line up to see the painting that's just 21 inches tall and hangs behind bulletproof glass. The crush has gotten so bad that visitors to the rest of the museum, which holds over 380,000 objects, including entire wings of Egyptian, Greek, and Roman antiques, can barely move through the galleries because of the crowd funneling toward one small portrait. We're covering this today because most of the world, and myself, are not really sure why the Mona Lisa is actually famous. And it turns out it has an answer that most people don't know. The Mona Lisa is not the most famous painting in the world because it's the best. It's the most famous painting because it was stolen in 1911 by a handyman who hid in a closet overnight, walked out with it under his smock, and then kept it in a suitcase under his bed for 2 years. The theft created the fame, but everything since has just been the fame feeding off itself. Before August 1911, the Mona Lisa was one of the many respected works in the Louvre. It hung on a wall in the Salon Carré, alongside several other Renaissance paintings. Art scholars admired it, Leonardo da Vinci was revered, but the painting was not singularly famous. It was not on postcards, it was not a cultural icon. One art historian described it as a lesser creation by Leonardo da Vinci, relative to his other works. On the evening of Sunday, August 20th, 1911, Vincenzo Perugia, a 29-year-old Italian handyman who had previously worked at the Louvre installing protective glass on paintings, walked into the museum and hid in a storage closet. The museum was closed on Mondays, so the next morning, wearing a white smock identical to those worn by museum employees, he walked into the Salon Carrera, lifted the painting off the wall, removed it from its glass case in a stairwell, tucked it under his smock, and then just walked out a side door. The entire theft took roughly 20 minutes. Somehow, nobody noticed, at least not that day. Not until the following day, when an artist who had come to sketch in the gallery saw the empty wall and mentioned it to a guard. The guard assumed the painting was being photographed on the roof, a routine practice. Hours passed before anyone confirmed the Mona Lisa was gone. The museum then shut down for a week, and the police launched a massive investigation. They interrogated the poet Guillaume Apollinaire, who was jailed for a week. They also hauled in Pablo Picasso for questioning, but both were released. Perugia was interviewed twice during the investigation. He had worked at the Louvre, and his fingerprint was on the glass case, but the police never made the connection. He kept the painting in a wooden trunk with a false bottom in his one-bedroom apartment on the outskirts of Paris for over 2 years. "I fell a victim to her smile and feasted my eyes on my treasure every evening," he later said. The empty wall in the Salon Carré became an attraction. People lined up to see the blank space where the painting had hung. Postcards of the empty wall sold out. Newspapers worldwide covered the theft for months. The Mona Lisa appeared on front pages, magazine covers, and newsreels. Millions of people who had never seen the painting, never visited the Louvre, and never thought about Renaissance art, now knew what the Mona Lisa looked like. The theft did more for the painting's fame than 4 centuries of hanging on a wall ever had. Perugia believed he was a patriot. He actually thought that Napoleon had stolen the painting from Italy. To be clear, he was wrong. France had legally purchased it centuries earlier. In December 1913, he contacted an art dealer in Florence named Alfredo Geri and offered to return the painting to Italy for 500,000 lire. Just so you know, lire is the former currency of Italy. Geri contacted the authorities and Perugia was arrested, after which he served 7 months in prison. Before the Mona Lisa was returned to Paris, it went on display at the Uffizi in Florence, where Italians lined up for hours to see it. Then it was exhibited in Rome and Milan. The painting toured Italy as a celebrity before it went home. When the Mona Lisa finally returned to the Louvre in January 1914, the crowds were enormous. The painting that had been one of the many in the Louvre was now the painting. It was placed on its own wall, and security was redesigned around it. Over the following decades, it was reproduced, parodied, and referenced so many times that it transcended art and became a symbol. Not sure if any of you have seen this one, but French artist Marcel Duchamp drew a mustache on a postcard of it in 1919. Andy Warhol silkscreened it in 1963. It appeared on advertisements, album covers, and currency. Each reproduction increased its fame, and each increase in fame generated more reproductions. The loop has been running for over a century. This is the mechanism worth understanding because it applies far beyond the Louvre. The Mona Lisa is the clearest example of a fame feedback loop. An object becomes famous, the fame attracts attention, the attention generates more coverage, the coverage makes the object more famous, and it keeps on going. The quality of the object matters at the starting point. The Mona Lisa is a masterpiece by one of the greatest artists in the world. Let's definitely not forget that. But after a certain threshold, the fame becomes self-sustaining and detaches from the qualities that justified it. 20,000 people a day don't line up because they've studied Leonardo's sfumato technique. Don't worry if you don't know what that is. But they line up because it's the Mona Lisa. And seeing the Mona Lisa is something you're supposed to do when you're in Paris. The experience of seeing it is often described as disappointing. To be honest, I've seen the Mona Lisa as well, and I'm kind of in that camp. Look, I mean, the painting is smaller than expected, the room is packed, and you can barely get close to see it. Most visitors just walk in, take a quick selfie, and then leave within 60 seconds. They came for the fame, not the art. The Louvre's billion-dollar renovation is the logical conclusion of this loop. The museum tried for years to manage the crowd with queue lines, timed entry, and crowd control barriers. None of it worked because the fundamental problem is structural. 20,000 people a day want to see one painting, and they're all funneling through a museum designed for distributed viewing of 380,000 objects. The solution, giving the Mona Lisa her own building with its own entrance, is a concession. It acknowledges that most people who visit the Louvre are coming for one thing. It separates the selfie crowd from the art crowd. Visitors who want to see the Mona Lisa can get in, take their photo, and leave without passing through the rest of the museum. Visitors who want to see everything else can move through the galleries without fighting through the Mona Lisa crush. The museum estimated the redesign will accommodate 3 million additional visitors per year. I'm not 100% sure if they plan on charging separately for this attraction, but it wouldn't be a terrible idea. The contrarian question is whether this is a victory or a surrender. The Louvre is one of the greatest collections of art in human history. Giving the Mona Lisa its own separate space means accepting that for millions of visitors, the rest of the collection is irrelevant. They're not coming for the art. They're coming for a photo with the most famous object in the most famous museum in the most famous city. The Louvre's response isn't to educate those visitors about the other 379,999 objects. It's to process them more efficiently and get them out of the way. But there's also another way to read it. The Mona Lisa's fame, however accidental its origins, brings tens of millions of people to a museum they might never otherwise visit. Some percentage of those visitors will wander into another gallery after their selfie. They'll see a Vermeer, a Caravaggio, or the Winged Victory of Samothrace and feel something they weren't expecting. The painting that became famous because of a theft might be the reason someone falls in love with art. And that's not a bad outcome for a 21-inch portrait that spent 2 years in a suitcase underneath a bed in Paris. So if this comes up this weekend, here's how to think about it. The Mona Lisa wasn't the most famous painting in the world until it was stolen in 1911 by a handyman who hid in a closet, walked out with it under his smock, and kept it in a trunk for 2 years. The empty wall became an attraction. Postcards of blank space sold out. The theft made international headlines and put the painting on front pages that millions of people saw for the first time. And so when it was recovered, the fame was permanent. Every reproduction, every parody, every reference fed the loop. The Louvre is now spending $1 billion to give the painting its own building because 20,000 people a day want to see it, and the crush is ruining the experience for everyone else. The Mona Lisa is a masterpiece. It's also the most famous example of something becoming famous for being famous. The theft created the icon created the crowd, and the crowd just got their own entrance. Happy Friday, and stay informed, stay curious, and we'll see you tomorrow.